15. Another Toe in the Ocean. Providence, October 31st, 2017. Whatever Mackenzie Regan had expected of the signalman, it wasn't the man she now found sitting in the diner booth across from her. Her father, a second-generation Minnesota horse farmer, would say this was a man who looked like he'd been rode hard and put up wet. Mackenzie, never given to Midwestern barnyard idioms, would simply say that he looked spent, in just about every way that a man entering late middle age can look spent, from the bruised insomniac's bags beneath his eyes to the beginnings of a proper drinker's nose. His black suit is wrinkled and dingy. There's dandruff on his shoulders and nicotine stains on his fingers and nails and teeth. His hair gives the impression that it hasn't so much gone gray as simply given up on the whole idea of color. He's a lot thinner than she expected. Mackenzie was recruited just 3 years back, straight out of Quantico, and she's still, as her father would say, wet behind the ears. But the signalman, he's a legend. And she reminds herself there are few things as sobering as meeting a legend who fails to measure up. Whatever she'd expected of the man who finally pushed the button at Deer Isle in 2012 and was boots on the ground at the Moonlight Ranch event, this wasn't it. Best not to count your chickens before they hatch, as her father would say.
Hell of a blow last night,
says the signalman, and dumps a stream of sugar into his coffee cup from the glass and stainless steel dispenser. The cream he pours in afterwards swirls like a tiny white galaxy, a logarithmic clockwise spiral reminding her there's no such thing as mundane.
On the radio, I heard there were gusts to 130 miles per hour up in New Hampshire. I heard there's more than 60,000 people here in Rhode Island without electricity this morning.
He has a slight southern drawl, Tennessee or Georgia or Alabama, maybe. Someone once told her he was from Birmingham. Welcome to New England, she says and smiles and watches as a signalman stirs his coffee. Happy Halloween. He smiles back, sort of, nods his head and gazes past her at the morning traffic out on Westminster Street.
Get me up most of the night, he says. I've never cared for the wind, truth be told. I've never much cared for the sea either. But it is a rare day when the world sits up, rolls over, and complies with our heart's desires. We go where we're told.
Yes, sir, she says.
You had your breakfast yet?
He asks, and she tells him that no, she hasn't.
Well then, we'll eat in a bit, he says. I just want to get a couple of the necessary unpleasantries out of the way first.
And then he reaches into his jacket and takes out an old photograph, a glossy color 4x6 printed on Kodak paper. He slides it across the table to her. A waitress shows up and asks if Mackenzie wants coffee. She says she does, and the waitress goes away again.
I know they've already sent some stuff over, says the signalman. But not this. This is the sort of thing I prefer not to trust to the couriers.
Yes, sir, Mackenzie says again. Of course. And she picks up the photograph. For whatever reason, she looks at the backside first. The paper has started to turn yellow around the edges, and there's sloppy handwriting scrawled in blue ballpoint pen. 7/21/75, Marquard Fetiche, Perth. Then she turns it over and looks at the front. She's already seen a lot of ugly in her 3 short, hard years with Albany, because ugly comes with the job. But none of it has prepared her for the thing in the photograph. She glances up at the signalman, then back down at the picture. I think I know what this is, she tells him. The signalman sips at his sweet, pale coffee, then stops watching the traffic and watches her instead.
Yeah, I figured you might, he says. You were the trigger for that surveillance team on the op down in Fall River last year, right?
Mackenzie Regan licks her lips. Her mouth has gone dry.
The Buffum Chase, what's it? Says the signalman. That mess with the cultists. You were on that team, correct?
She sets the photo on the table, resisting the urge to hand it back to him or turn it face down so she won't have to see the thing. This is supposed to be Mother Hydra, isn't it? She asks.
That's what they tell me,
he replies, and runs the fingers of his right hand through his weary, colorless hair. The waitress brings Mackenzie's coffee and asks if they're ready to order. The signalman tells her no, soon, but not yet. She doesn't seem to notice the photograph lying on the table in front of Mackenzie. The waitress says she'll check back in a bit, then leaves, and the signalman returns to watching the traffic on Westminster.
At the old house in Fall River, says Mackenzie. There was something painted on one of the walls. I think it was meant to be this. Didn't really do it justice, though.
Hell of a thing, ain't it? About yay big.
And he makes a fist to indicate the figure's size.
Near as anyone can guess, it was made in Assyria during the late Bronze Age, carved from a hunk of iron sulfide that most likely formed in a deep-sea hydrothermal vent.
Mackenzie ignores her coffee and picks up the photograph again. She knows better, but tells herself it's only her imagination playing tricks that makes the paper feel oily and somehow unclean.
You know anything about hydrothermal vents, Agent Regan?
Not really, no. I mean, nothing much beyond what you pick up from reading National Geographic and watching PBS.
So you might not know there are hydrothermal vents other places besides Earth. Europa, for instance, and Enceladus. That's the planet Saturn's sixth largest moon.
Before she thinks better of it, Mackenzie Regan tells the signalman she knows what Enceladus is, that she had an astronomy course in college. He just nods and drinks his coffee and watches the cars on the other side of the plate glass windows.
All right then, Professor, he says. Do you also know there are scientists who think Mars used to have hydrothermal vents way back about 3.5 billion years ago when maybe there was a Martian ocean?
No, she tells him. I didn't know that.
Well, turns out there are. And here's the kicker. If our planetologists and geochemists and whatnot are to be believed, the dingus in that picture was made from a piece of iron that formed in a hydrothermal vent on Mars, and then, billions of years later, fell to Earth as a meteorite that landed somewhere in Mesopotamia. That's in...
I know, she says. The people in Fall River. They wanted this.
Yeah, I just bet they did, says the signalman. All sorts of bad folks have been after this piece of junk since some Frenchmen went and dug it up at the ruins of Ugarit not long before the start of World War II.
And this is what she's after? The Welsh woman?
Mackenzie asks him. She hands the photograph back, and he takes it and returns it to his jacket pocket.
Oh, no, says the signalman. She already has it. She's had it going on 7 years. We as good as handed her the damn thing on a silver platter and said, here, crazy sea witch lady who wants to wake up great Cthulhu and flood the whole damn world, have your play pretty. We heard the stars are right, again, so please, knock yourself out with our compliments. That shit show in Maine a while back, that was her. And either we got real damn lucky or it was just meant as some kind of dry run, a wind-up to the main attraction. The great egress would have you. Either way, looks like she's done licking whatever wounds we inflicted at Deer Isle.
Oh, says Mackenzie. I see.
Not yet, you don't, says the signalman. But you will. And I want you to know, Agent Regan, I sincerely apologize about that ahead of time. If we've done our math right, crossed all our I's and dotted all our T's, this is going to be one of the bad ones, and I figure you'll have plenty enough reasons to curse my name before it's all over and done with.
Mackenzie Regan looks down at the cup of coffee getting cold in front of her.
Yes, sir, she says, though it isn't what she wants to say at all.
So, do you like blueberry pancakes, Agent Regan? A little bird told me this place makes damn fine blueberry pancakes, and I figure it would be some sort of sin to leave without finding out firsthand whether or not that is indeed the case.
Sure, Mackenzie tells him. I like blueberry pancakes.
Good to know, he says,
then turns around in the booth looking for their waitress, waving to get her attention. But Mackenzie Regan doesn't know what she'll do when the food comes. The thought of eating is making her ill, and all she really wants is to go to the restroom and wash her hands, scrub away the layer of skin that came into contact with that awful photograph of that awful thing. but she won't. Because someone in Albany gave this tired old man her name, and maybe he wasn't exactly what she'd expected, and maybe the truth won't match the hype, but this is what she's been waiting for. The reason she turned down solid offers from the FBI and the NSA. A chance to get her hands dirty. A chance to fight the monsters.